Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Morning, everyone. It's Thank Goodness This Folk on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. On the internet, sheffieldlive.org. The show will also be available later as a podcast. I'm Swagley, broadcasting this morning, as usual, with James Fagan. We have a very special guest today with us, Matthew Bannister, broadcaster, former BBC controller and presenter of Folk on Foot, who'll be joining us to go through his Kelly Island discs and also tell us about the new Folk Album of the Year award. We'll be playing excerpts of the tracks of the artists and tracks nominated for the award. We're really looking forward to it, so join us for 2 hours on Thank Goodness It's Folk.
Yes, good morning from me as well, and welcome to this very special edition of Thank Goodness It's Folk. And it's a return to the Kelham Island discs, which we must say, as we have a former controller of BBC here, is obviously an homage to Desert Island discs. But it's our special Sheffield version, imagining that our guest is stranded at Kelham Island Tavern with nothing but a copy of the Child Ballads and an endless supply of real ale. And our guest today is Matthew Bannister. Welcome to the program, Matthew.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Sam and I have been very excited ever since Sam asked you to join us on this this program. Sam and I have been broadcasting for about 12 years now in Sheffield on Sheffield Live Radio. And it's really nice to talk to another radio person. We've spoken to a lot of folkies over the years on the show, but it's really nice to have a fellow broadcaster as our guest. Thank you for joining us.
And a Sheffield person, can I say?
Very much so. You can indeed. And we'll come to that because we will be looking looking at your life, not just in radio, but your life in the world and in music. So we'll come back to that in a moment, Matthew. But you've chosen a very broad-ranging set of songs, possibly with a bit of a folk bent, and we'll come to why that is in a moment. But before we go much further, and before we go back to your childhood in Sheffield and your days at King Edward High School and then university life in Nottingham, tell us why you've chosen your first track, which is Fairport Convention's Tamlin, an absolutely classic track and possibly one of the most beloved folk rock albums ever made.
Well, this is from Lesion Leaf, and Lesion Leaf came out when I was a teenager, and it was the album that really turned me on to folk music, because before that I'd been listening to rock and pop songs and so on, but suddenly this album came out, which had not only this extraordinary instrumentation, and I was learning the classical violin at the time, and I was a bit bored with the classical violin, to be honest with you, and suddenly Dave Swarbrick playing the electric violin came into my life, and I thought, wow, this could perhaps be a bit cool. There was that. And then there were these songs and stories of magic, of witchcraft, of adultery and violence and so on, which seemed to come from my culture. So I connected very strongly with them. So it was a combination of the electric instruments and the electrifying performances and the content of the folk music that really made the hairs on the back of my neck stand on end.
Well, it's an incredible track. And here is Sandy Denny leading Lesion Leaf's wonderful version of Fairport Convention with Tamlin.
They leave him a pledge.
That was the first choice of our guest, of our Kenham Island Discs guest, Matthew Bannister. Matthew, you grew up in Sheffield, didn't you? You are from Sheffield.
Yes, I was born in Sheffield and brought up in Sheffield. I lived in Sheffield for the first 18 years of my life. So started off in Norfolk Park. We had a house just next to Norfolk Park, actually. Used to climb over a wall to get into the park from the back of our garden. And then we moved over to mill houses. So I lived in mill houses for quite a long time. And that's where I went to Abbey Lane Primary School and then on to King Edward VII, which was then a grammar school in the year that I went, went comprehensive the year after I went there.
Yeah. And, well, it's lovely to talk to you about folk music then, because as you know, Sheffield is a very busy city for folk music, and it's somewhere where you have done a couple of your episodes of Folk on Foot, including a special on the Sheffield Carols. Do you remember folk music being part of Sheffield when you were a kid, and was it part of the environment you grew up in, Matthew?
It very much was, yes. I mean, as I said, I was learning the classical violin and then I heard Lesion Leaf. And what I did as a result of that was I started a folk band with a guitarist. And so there's a male guitarist and a woman singer and me playing the fiddle. And we used to tour around open mic nights and the club nights in North Derbyshire and Sheffield. And we ended up, actually, the first time I ever appeared on the radio wasn't as a broadcaster. It was playing the fiddle on a cover version of Richard Thompson's I Want to See the Bright Lights Tonight on the Radio Sheffield Folk Show, presented by one and only John Leonard.
Wow.
In those days. And I must have been about 17 when that happened. So there was a very vibrant folk scene going on. And, you know, you would see people like Vin Garbutt. You might see Martin Carthy playing in an upstairs room of a pub.
Yep.
And that's where I learned, you know, as Martin Simpson says, that what is the definition of folk music? Well, it's music accompanied by a raffle. That's right. I took part in many raffles, didn't win many of them. But yeah, we played around the folk clubs in those days.
What tempted you to leave Sheffield for university? I guess more people did in those days go away. A lot of people stay in Sheffield now. I've got two great universities here, but you went to Nottingham, didn't you?
Yeah, I was quite keen to get away from home and set up life on my own. And I was rejected by both Oxford and Cambridge. And the next choice on the list was Nottingham, where I was allegedly going to read law. But I found out very quickly after I arrived there that law wasn't really my main passion. And that, in fact, theatre was what took over while I was at university. And Nottingham had the only entirely student-run theatre in the whole of England. So the whole place was run by the students, looking after the building, directing the plays, acting, marketing, finance, and so on. So I spent an enormous amount of my 3 years in Nottingham in the theatre, putting on plays, acting in plays. I also sang in a rock band, but we only ever did two concerts, which were pretty hopeless, frankly. but I enjoyed myself doing it.
I've rushed a little bit forward because one question I have for you is about people who end up in broadcasting. Often as children, when you look back, you realize there are hints in their hobbies and the things that they do when they're quite young. I know I used to sit with my tape recorder when I was a kid making these fake programs. I've still got a couple of the tapes. I'm always a bit embarrassed and also a little bit delighted to hear myself, reviewing particular desserts I was eating and trying to interview my parents, my long-suffering parents. And I know that, Sam, you as a child were fascinated by radio yourself. Yeah. And it was always something you wanted to end up in. What about you, Mr. Bannister, head controller of Radio 1 at one point?
Well, it came from my dad. My dad was a big radio fan and he had a reel-to-reel tape recorder and he had a collection of reel-to-reel tapes, big 12-inch reel-to-reel tapes where he recorded the comedy programmes off the BBC. So we had The Goon Show, It's That Man Again, Hancock's Half Hour. Younger listeners will not know what these are, but they were the Navy Lark. They were the hit comedy programmes of BBC Radio at the time. And so I grew up listening to those. And I remember very distinctly when I started to use the tape recorder, and it was to do with Apollo 13. I got absolutely fascinated by the story of this moon mission, which turned out to be, as you know from the film with Tom Hanks, turned out to be a very dangerous moon mission.
Indeed.
Where they were in big trouble. And every morning I used to get up very early to record the news onto the reel-to-reel tape recorder to see whether the astronauts had survived the night or whether they died in the night or what had happened. And I think you could see there the seeds of a career in radio journalism, although I had no idea that it was possible to have a career in radio journalism when I was doing that.
Well, the second track that you've brought for us ties in slightly to the first one because it also features Richard Thompson, but this is one of his biggest hits. Could you tell us why you've chosen Bee's Wing and what it means to you?
Well, of course, setting off from Fairport Convention can take you down many different roads because so many different people have been in Fairport Convention. So I became a huge fan of Sandy Denny's solo work, followed Ashley Hutchings to Steel I Span and heard Steel I Span. But the guy who really made the impression on me, as I've said, I was playing a cover version of one of his songs on Radio Sheffield, was Richard Thompson, an amazing songwriter, an amazing guitarist. And so back in the 1970s, I used to buy all his albums whenever they came out. And a little did I know that 40 years later, I would be recording an episode of Folk on Foot with Richard, where we walked around his old haunts in Muswell Hill. And we actually went to the house, Fairport, which gave Fairport Convention its name. And he played Meet on the Ledge in the front garden for us.
Incredible.
And also, we went to Highgate Woods and he played Beeswing. And Beeswing is just one of my favourite of his songs because of the beauty of the guitar playing, but also the glory of his storytelling and the character that he reveals to us in the song.
There's something special, isn't there, Matthew, about sitting there while he's playing and watching him. It's just fabulous, isn't it?
Yeah, and I was literally a yard away from him when he played this in the woods for us, you know, and watching those fingers move. I mean, it is, you know, when he plays the guitar, it's like two people are playing the guitar, you know, so you're kind of looking very closely to try to find out how the magic works, and you're never quite sure how he does it, but he does it brilliantly. And to stand a yard away from him and have him sing this song to me was such a huge privilege.
I had the privilege of introducing him at Warwick Festival this year, and I went back on for the encore because there was a big ramp to get me up and down the stage. And I went back on for the encore and he came back on and started playing Beeswing. And I just looked at everyone down there and went, nope, I'm staying up here. And I sat there at the side of the stage while he was playing. It's just like, oh my God, this is fantastic.
Well, I can say that I'm the only person in this room who hasn't sat next to Richard Thompson while he played Beeswing. So there you go.
I'm
in the minority today. Let's hear this incredible track.
I was 19 when I came to town. They called it the summer of love. They were burning babies, burning flags, the hawks against the doves. I took a job in the steamy, down on Cauldron Street, and I fell in love with a laundry girl who was working next to me. Well, she was a rare thing, fine as a bee's wing, so fine a breath of wind might blow her away. She was a lost child, well, she was running wild. She said, as long as there's no price on love, I'll stay. And you wouldn't want me any other way. Brown hair zigzag around her face, a look of half surprise. Like a fox caught in the headlights, there was animal in her eyes. She said, young man, oh, can't you see, I'm not the factory kind. If you don't take me out of here, I'll surely lose my mind. Well, she was a rare thing, fine as a bee's wing, so fine that I might crush her where she lay. She was a lost child, she was running wild. She said, as long as there's no price on love, I'll stay. And you wouldn't want me any other way. Towns, we pick fruit down in Kent, and we could tinkle lamps and pots and knives wherever we went. I said that we might settle down, get a few acres dug, fire burning in the hearth and babies on the rug. She said, oh man, you foolish man, sure that sounds like hell. You might be lord of half the world, you're not on me as well. Well, she was a rare thing, fine as a bee's wing. Fine a breath of wind might blow her away. She was a lost child, but she was running wild. She said, as long as there's no price on love, I'll stay. And you wouldn't want me any other way. We was camping down the Gower one time. The work was pretty good. She thought we shouldn't wait for the first, and I thought maybe we should. We was drinking more in those days, and tempers reached a pitch. And like a fool, I let her run with a rambling itch. Oh, the last I heard, she's sleeping rough back on the Derby beat. White horse in her hip pocket, and a wolfhound at her feet. And they say she even married once a man named Romany Brown. But even a gypsy caravan was too much settling down. And they say her flower is faded now, hard weather and hard booze. But maybe that's just the price you pay for the chains you refuse. Oh, she was a rare thing, fine as a bee's wing. And I miss her more than ever words could say. If I could just taste all of her wildness now, if I could hold her in my arms today, well, I wouldn't want her any other way.
Unmistakable and classic Richard Thompson with the fantastic song Bee's Wing, the second choice of our guest today, Matthew Bannister. Matthew, you're at uni doing university at Nottingham doing drama. How and when did you decide that broadcasting would be the direction you would go in?
Well, as I said, I've always loved radio, but there came a fork in the road when I was getting towards the end of my university career, because I applied for a postgraduate course in theatre directing at Cardiff, but my parents said they weren't going to give me any money if I wanted to do that, because they wanted me to go pursue the law, which was just not on the cards. And so I applied, and in those days you could apply for a grant from the local authority to cover your costs. So I applied to Sheffield City Council for a grant, and meanwhile I thought I better have another string to my bow in case I don't get that grant. And a friend of mine in the year above me had got a job at BBC Radio Nottingham as a sports reporter, and I had a drink with him and I said, do you think that they would entertain an application from me? And he said, well, why don't you just write to the station manager? So I wrote to the station manager, setting out my CV, and as it happened, they had had the year before their first graduate trainee, and he'd done so well that he got promoted to a proper job, and they therefore had a vacancy for a graduate trainee. And they interviewed me and me alone. I don't think in these days of fair selection that would be allowed nowadays, but they interviewed me and they offered me a contract of 1 year as a trainee reporter on £3,000 a year. And the grant came through from Sheffield City Council and it was £950 a year. And I thought, well, it's a choice between, although I'm passionate about theatre, a course, which is not a job, or a real job in the organisation that my dad brought me up to love, the BBC and the radio. And so I chose the radio, and the rest is history.
Wow, that is quite a start. I'm so glad that you are still a broadcaster, but it's a very different broadcasting you do. And people will know your name if they follow the history of BBC Radio. And I would like to take you back to those days when you rose through the ranks, a bit like your own name, Bannister, which is a, you can either see that as going up a staircase or down a staircase. You can decide which
you're running a 4 minute mile.
Yes, indeed. But you are, you did indeed climb quickly through the ranks of the executive branch, or if you like, the editorial branch or the controlling branch of broadcasting, as opposed to being on microphone. And I know that you did both, but before long, you were editing and chief editor, and then ultimately you became the controller of Radio One at a seismic time in British music and in the history of that radio station. And it seems to me that you must have personally been through quite a lot in those times, because radio was judged at that time purely, it almost seemed, by the number of listeners, and you either gained listeners or you lost listeners. What was that environment like to be in?
So just to explain what my mission was when I became controller of Radio 1, this was 1993, and Radio 1 was a hugely successful radio station with 19 million people a week listening to it. But it was very much the radio station that was growing old with its audience. So it was rather like Radio 2 is now. It was a station that had started in 1967. Some of the DJs were still on it in 1993, and it had a big party to celebrate its anniversary, and the headline act in 1992 was Status Quo. And the listeners voted for their favourite record, and it was Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen. And this is in 1993, when grunge is happening, when the second summer of love had happened in 1988, and lots of dance music was coming through. And basically the BBC said, well, we need a station for young people. Where's our station for young people? Because if everything gets older, if Radio 1 gets older, Radio 2 at that time was playing songs from the shows. David Jacobs and Michael Aspel were the presenters there. And so we had to reposition Radio 1 for a younger audience. And I also had to justify its existence as part of the BBC. So what makes this pop music radio station different from the growing number of commercial pop music radio stations that are out there? So my other mission was to make it different, and I wanted to do that by championing new music, and in particular new British music. So we had a big row. We had a big row because I had to let some of the DJs go, some of the older generation, and a lot of people loved those DJs and wished that they'd stay.
Yeah.
We had a big row because the audience started to fall, because we were now targeting young people, a much smaller group in society than the baby boomers who Radio 1 had targeted before.
Yeah.
So there were big headlines about that. But ultimately, it was vindicated because we started to champion what became known as Britpop. Mm. And we were doing that long before commercial radio got onto it.
Yeah.
And a great example of that was Oasis, who were played on Radio 1 and played live on Radio 1 before they even had a record out.
Amazing.
And then we followed their career. I think it must have taken about 9 months to a year before commercial radio really caught on to what was happening. And we followed their career and followed their career, and their manager, Alan McGee of Creation Records, credits us with having supported them in those early days. And then we ended up broadcasting live to the world their gig at Nebworth in front of 125,000 people. So you just see how quickly it happened. But it was about being different, about Radio 1 championing the new music. And of course, alongside them came Pulp and Blur and Cast and Supergrass and, you know, all the other bands that came through at that time. And again, you know, through shows like The Evening Session with Steve Lamacq and Joe Wiley, we championed those bands.
Do you remember the first time you saw or heard Oasis? Do you remember what you thought of them?
I heard them on Radio 1, you know, when they were playing at a Sound City gig. We used to do this thing called Sound City, where we took the Evening Session show to a particular city, and then we would put on gigs in that city for a whole week, often in the smaller clubs and that kind of thing, and then broadcast them. So I first heard them there, but I saw them at Earl's Court when they were in a double bill with The Verve. And you know, it's always it blows your mind, really. I mean, it was really powerful stuff. And then to go and be given VIP access to the Nebworth gig, where we were right down the front because Radio 1 was broadcasting it, and to be, you know, a few yards away from Liam Gallagher giving it welly, it definitely makes you sit up and take notice.
Well, an incredibly formative band, incredibly important band, and it's lovely to hear your part in their story, Matthew. Let's hear your choice, which is...
Don't Look Back in Anger, of course.
Well, I think that's the first time that Oasis have been played on Thank Goodness It's Folk. But what a joy to play Don't Look Back in Anger by Oasis. The choice of Matthew Bannister, where we are right at the point where Matthew was at Radio One. And I think the thing to just talk about here, Matthew, is that you might have been getting rid of some of the old guard at Radio One. But the job was to revitalize it. What you did was to bring in some of the great DJs of today.
Well, that's right. I mean, obviously, it's wonderful to see where these careers have gone. But, you know, Chris Evans, obviously, Zoe Ball, Mark Ratcliffe, the wonderful Mark and Lard show, which many your older listeners might remember from the afternoons on Radio One. You know, we had people like Trevor Nelson, Pete Tong. You know, they were the leading DJs. And I mentioned Steve LeMack and Joe Wiley, of course, Dave Pierce in dance music, Danny Rampling in dance music. You know, we did bring on the next generation of DJs, and I'm delighted to say that many of them are still at the forefront of their profession.
Absolutely. So throughout this time then, were you still taking an interest in folk music, or did that take a back seat for a little while for you?
It did take a bit of a backseat. I mean, I still loved it, but of course, given the public controversy about what was going on at Radio 1, I had to keep that pretty secret, because if the tabloid newspapers were having a field day as it was, if they found out that the controller of Radio 1 liked folk music, they would have written that I was completely out of touch with the modern zeitgeist and I didn't know what was going on. And of course, you know, it's ridiculous that we put people into these boxes, isn't it? Because I like all kinds of music. Yeah. I mean, last night I went to see Handel's Messiah.
Yeah.
You know, because I think that's a beautiful piece of work. I love folk music, you know. I like rock music. I like opera. Mm. You know, and the fact that you can like all of those things doesn't seem to work in the minds of journalists who want to put you in a box and say, oh, you must be out of touch if you're a folk fan, or you must be out of touch if you're a jazz fan, or yeah, or whatever. But so I did keep it quiet. I did pay attention to what was going on. But there was a moment when I sort of reconnected with it when I'd come out of Radio One. And I was doing a show on, I'd gone back to broadcasting, which is my first love, and I was presenting a show on Radio 5 Live. I used to have my own show between 10 p.m. and 1 a.m., which was a talk show with two guests discussing the day's news and, you know, having a bit of fun. And they were doing this thing on 5 Live called Country Week, in a typical BBC manner, where they sent all the shows out to the country. And they sent me to a little hamlet in Devon to do the show from a community pub. It was a really atmospheric place with lots of old wood panelling and a roaring fire in the grate. And it was the village shop as well. It was like the post office and the shop and the pub. So they had eggs for sale on the bar and marmalade and that kind of thing. Anyway, we're doing the show from there in the upstairs room, which had an audience there in there, about six people. And the producer said to me, well, I've booked this band to come and play. And I thought, oh dear, you know, who have you got? And he said, have a listen to their CD. And it was this band called Show of Hands, Steve Knightley and Phil Beer. And then the CD was called Country Life. And I put it on, not expecting very much. And I thought, this is really good. This is really strong stuff. And particularly the title track, Country Life, which, you know, is so many streets away from your prancing about in the hayloft kind of view of folk music, because it's so down there talking about contemporary life in the country for people who don't have much money and the kind of alienation that they feel. And Steve and Phil came along on that show in that little room upstairs in the pub. And it was another example of me getting up close and personal with the musicians, because they sang Country Life at me from across the table. And, you know, again, you know, that was a really powerful experience. And it made me think there's something going on in folk music at the moment, and it can be a voice for now, even though it respects the tradition.
Well, that's a great introduction to this track. Thanks for choosing it, Matthew. And it is Country Life from Show of Hands.
Working in the rain, cutting up wood, bending my little brother. rather much good. Lost two fingers in a chainsaw bite. All he does now is drink and fight. Sells a bit of grass, hots up cars. Talks of travel, never gets far. Loves his kids, left his wife. An everyday story of country life. And the red brick cottage where I was born is the empty shell of a holiday home. Most of the year there's no one there. The village is dead and they don't care. Now we live on the edge of town. Haven't been back since the pub closed down. One man's family pays the price for another man's vision of country life. I'm singing, whoa. His generation won the war. He left the farm forever when they only kept on 1 in 10. Landed gentry, county snobs. Where were you when they lost their jobs? No one marched or subsidized to save a country way of life.
Country Life, show of hands, and that is the choice of Matthew Bannister, our guest today, talking about some of the music, anyway, that has inspired him over his life. Matthew, it strikes me that the next track is in some ways connected to that through the themes of country, but it speaks to something which has become a huge part of your life, which is the natural world. I guess the show of hands track is really the intersection of modern life and of urban versus country. But the work of Corinne Polwart and this album she made with Pippa Murphy, which we'll come to in a moment, goes into a deeper layer of the natural world, something which you have explored extensively since 2018 on your award-winning podcast, Folk on Foot. It's an amazing podcast, and our listeners, most of our listeners, know it already. And if they don't, Matthew, if I may just say a little bit about it from my perspective, Matthew, with his wonderful production team, goes around this amazing set of islands we have, talking to folk musicians in I like to say in their natural environment, but I think some of them probably live in urban environments too. But taking them back to places that mean something to them. Many of the episodes are set in the outdoors. Most of them involve going for a walk with these wonderful artists and listening to them, not just playing, but talking about their relationship to this country and to the land and to the natural world that they live in, how their music interacts with that. And the podcasts are a rich and immersive acoustic experience because they also capture the sounds of the landscape. And they've been an opportunity for you, Matthew, to really take this music to another level, because folk music is about far more than just the songs, isn't it?
Well, obviously, you've put it really beautifully for me, James. Thanks very much indeed. I mean, the inspiration for Folk on Foot came from a number of different directions, but it brings together three things that I really love, which is folk music, walking in nature, and creating beautiful stories in sound, which is what I've really done all my life. And it's a good link because Steve Knightley was actually the first person we recorded on Folk on Foot to see whether it would work. He kindly agreed to do a pilot. And he has a song called The Dive, which is about a father and a son who go out fishing, and the son dives over the side of the ship. And while he's down below, the boat drifts. And so when he comes up, there's nobody there. And this is based on a true story of a father and son. And for the first ever recorded episode of Folk on Foot, not the first one we put out, but the first one we recorded, Steve took us to sit on the boat that this story is about with the guy who was the son sitting there listening to it. And when he played the song on the boat with the guy, you know, who was reliving his experience of becoming parted from his father in the sea, it was so emotional. And I realized that this was going to work, that singing a song in a location makes it so much more powerful. And then I went to a show at the Edinburgh Festival done by Corinne Polwart. And she did this show called Wind Resistance with a sound designer called Pippa Murphy, where they basically brought this moor into the theatre, this moor called Fallow Moor, which is near her home in Midlothian, just south of Edinburgh. They brought the sounds of the moor. They brought some grasses and herbs and potions that they made medicines on the stage out of the natural ingredients from the moor, because there used to be a monastery there that where they invented some herbal medicine, particularly for help in childbirth. And then Corinne put that together with telling stories of the moor, the people who lived there, her own personal experiences, and singing songs of it. And I was sitting in the audience going, wouldn't it be great if we could get Corinne to come on the moor and record a walk with us, telling us the story of the moor and playing those songs? So that was a very early episode of Folk on Foot. And this track comes from the album of that show, and it mixes spoken word and the sounds of the moor and music in a really evocative way that takes you there.
This is The Moor Speaks, from Corinne Polwart and Pippa Murphy's A Pocket of Wind Resistance.
I am the moor where the wind sings.
While I flows.
I am earth and I am water. I am sedge and I am sky. I am all dead things.
I am alive.
You've skipped barefoot through my heather and lain down among the mosses with your fingers and your lusting and your soft pale bellies. You've made love and made life inside your dark damp bodies as I have in mine.
You are my mom.
Stars, sphagnum auriculatum, like clumps of rhubarb and custard,
sphagnum.
The vibrant cherry red of sphagnum magellanicum, and hylocomium splendens, glittering wood moss. Is nest of the red hen is in the green red heather. My little one shall sleep, and he shall have the birds. The nest of the curlew is in the bubbling peat moss. My little one shall sleep, and he shall have the birds. The nest of the skylark is in the track of dewy. My little one shall sleep, and he shall have the bird.
Matthew, just listening to that has reminded me the first time I heard that I was driving with Jess Arrowsmith, my fellow band member in Melrose Quartet, and we put on that CD which we had just been sent, A Pocket of Wind Resistance. And I have to say, few things are more moving than an auditory experience like that, including any television or stage thing you want. And I remember Jess and I had to stop the car because neither of us were capable of driving at that moment, because it's such an intense, emotional and beautiful experience to hear that what she's done. And it's no wonder to me that inspired, as well as some of the other things you've mentioned, but that particular soundscape inspired a program which is now well and truly in its stride, Folk on Foot. A beautiful choice. Thank you. A very short break here now on Thank Goodness It's Folk. We'll have some wonderful music from Nancy Wallace first with Sleeping Sickness, and then Matthew Bannister will be back to share his final Kellam Island disc tracks with you and tell us about this year's Folk Album of the Year Awards.
Just a touch upon my arm could be the thing to wake me. Won't you move a little closer? Come to me and shake me, shake me. And you have been in here forever. I have seen you nightly. You send words across the water. They will always find me, find me. And I sleep so soundly. So soundly through the night, the endless starless night. You're the only one who knows how deeply I am under, and until we find I will lie and wonder, wonder.